Okay, so we left off yesterday. We were discussing the Rambam Shita that when we're dealing with something which is only Bas B'chol of the Rabbanon, something can be Bas B'chol of the Rabbanon for many, many different reasons. Either because it's not quite up to par in terms of being called Bas B'chol Gedi B'chol of Imo, so it's not a Gedi, it's not a Behema. And therefore, the Rambam Shita is that Pesach Of would at worst only be Mid the Rabbanon. Everyone agrees to the Rambam, according to the Rambam, Pesach Of would only be the Rabbanon. But sometimes Bas B'chol falls short of being deraisa, not because there's a chisarn in the chevtza of the gedi, but rather there's a chisarn in the maisa bishul savashel gedi b'chol v'imo, and derech bishul asher Torah. And if Bas B'chol are mixed together, albeit not derech bishul, either of its tzonin, or even if it's mixed together, and even if there's an nesinus tam, but the nesinus tam was done through some cold method named kavush. Was merely soaking together, or through maliach, it was salted together. Anything that falls short in terms of being bas b'chol deraisa is at worst only bas b'chol derabbanan. And as such, the Rambam says, not all the isur of bas b'chol apply to something that's only bas b'chol derabbanan. The Rambam differentiated between achila on the one hand, which applies across the board even to bas b'chol derabbanan, in contrast to bishul and hana, which don't. So we spent a lot of time yesterday trying to bring rayas for the Rambam. We refuted some of the rayas about the non-Jewish cheese. Was that a raya for? Raya not necessarily a raya for. But then we took a step back and said, conceptually, why should that be so? Why should we conceptually differentiate between bishul and hano on the one hand versus achilil? After all, aren't all three of them deraisa? Why should we take this attitude that, well, bishul and all, those are somehow not the primary surah of Bas B'chol? Why is that true? So the very end of the issue yesterday, we began to introduce this idea that the Rambam seems to present. The Rambam seems to present to us that there's a unique relationship between the issue of bishul Bas B'chol and the issue of achilas Bas B'chol, in the sense that bishul is not a freestanding issue. Bishul is not an issue in and of itself. But bishul is also otu achila. That the way, at least the way some of the nice came, because the Mishnah coined it, is that bishul is literally a siyag of achila. Now, the word siyag shouldn't be taken so literally. Siyag usually means derabbanan here. It means a siyag at Torah. But the very nature of the iser of bishul is that don't be mevashel bas b'cholav min haTorah, because the Torah is concerned gezeira shema yavo la'ochlo. What led us to believe that the Rambam says this? So the Rambam. The Rambam presented the question, why the Torah never really says, don't eat Bas B'chol? Why doesn't the Torah just say it outright? If it's also the Torah, why does the Torah say Lo Savasha, which Toshua Peh means Lo Socha? Why doesn't it just say Lo Socha? The Rambam says, because the Torah doesn't say the obvious. The Torah doesn't speak about Isurim that can so simply be figured out on our own. So Lamli Kros Svaru, it's so obvious, so poshut. From the context of the Torah, that something is asur, there's no need even to spell it out. So the Rambam gives two examples of this, at least over here, gives other examples in other places. Over here, the Rambam gives two examples of this. One is the relationship between Bas B'chol, bishul versus achila. If the Torah said you can't cook Bas B'chol, it is so obvious you can't eat it, because after all, the only reason why you can't cook in the first place is lest you come to eat it. So it would be absurd to say that you can't cook, but you can eat. It's ridiculous, says the Rambam. So munach licked in the Isra of Bishol is the Isra of Achila, because the whole thrust of the Isra, whole purpose of the Isra of Bishol is a gezeira ben derais atu Achila. And the Rambam gave another example of the relationship between the Isra of Bito versus the Isra of Bas Bito. The Torah tells us, Pasha Zachimel, Pasha Kedoshim, in the list of Arayos, so the Torah speaks about a person who is Baal Bas Bito, a person who has relations with his daughter's daughter, the granddaughter. So that's an Issa Gomer, it's an Issa Misa, it's a car, it's a disaster, it's the worst of the worst. But if you go through the list in Pasha Zachary Mos, as well as in Pasha Kedoshim, this list of Arayas appears both. And Zachary Mos appears vis-a-vis Isurim, and Kedoshim appears vis-a-vis Onshin. The Torah never says the Isurim Baal Bito. The Torah leaves it out. The Torah says Baal Bas Bito is also. The Torah never ever said as an issa to be bold, bito, which is strange, which is bizarre. Now, truth to be told, if it's bito me'ishto, if it's Reuben and Rachel married and have a daughter, then There's no question, of course, there's a nisr to be baal bitel because it's what's called bas ishtel. It's a nisr to be baal bas ishtel, even if it's not his daughter. Let's say, for example, Reuben marries Rachel, and Rachel has a daughter from another marriage. That's a nisr, nisr of arayas. It's a gomer. It's a nisr to be baal bas ishtel. So 99% of the time, bitel will be bas ishtel, but not always. Let's say a person is ma'anis a woman. A person has relations with a woman out of the context of marriage. So that's not called bas ishtel. It's called bas anusoso. So if a person has a daughter out of the context of marriage, vishtei, you're not allowed to be bold now. How do you know that's one of the arayas? So strangely enough, it doesn't say it. It doesn't say it in Pash Sacheros. It doesn't say it in Pash Kedoshim. We know that Ervas Bas Bilcho, Bas Bilcho Losagala. That I know. But where does it say Ervas Bilcho itself? So the Rambam writes, the Torah doesn't say such a thing. Common sense goes to me that. The Gemara says, Pemolai, that of course it's in the Segov, of course it's in the Semis, of course it's in the Sekaris. Not a Shaila, it's in the Sebal Pita. Not even a Havamish, a Havamina. There's the Rambam. The Torah Shem Chsav, why doesn't it say Bal Vito? So the Rambam says, very simple. It says Bal Bas Pita was Asar. Bas Bito is obviously only Usar Mikoch Bito. So if the whole Isser of Bas Bito is Mikoch Bito, means his granddaughter is like an extension of his daughter. It's like Bnei Banu Kibanim. So if the Torah says that even the far away, even the two generations away of a quote-unquote daughter is a problem, so for sure the daughter itself is Usar. Of course it's Usar. And therefore, L'shosik HaKosu B'l'Hesor, Abbas, became Usar Bas Abbas. If the Torah says Bas Abbas, the male munach in that is the Isser of Bito as well. So the Rambam uses the same mashal when it comes to Bas Mechala. Says that if the Matach the Torah asks Bishul Bas Mechala, which is already one step removed, which is only a Siyag, Otu Achilas Bas Mechala, how much more so is Achilas Bas Mechala considered to be Asur? So this idea of the Rambam, that there is sometimes the Torah doesn't even bother saying something because it's so obvious, this is even more than a Kal Vachomer. Kal v'chomer means something that's not so obvious. You have to think about it a lot. You have to pilpul. Is it a good kal v'chomer? Not a good kal v'chomer. No, yes, far, not as far. Is there a question? Is there a pircha? You can pilpul back and forth. So that's a kal v'chomer. So a kal v'chomer is a little bit weary because a kal v'chomer, we have a rule called Eid Einshim and Adin. You can't give out a onesh based on a kal v'chomer. So this is not quite a kal v'chomer. This is something which is what's called just nos de pshita ad b'oid. I just made a better. It's obvious. It's not a kal v'chomer. Maduch, this is also, therefore that's also. It's e'eb shar, that there should be an isser of bas bito without being an isser of bito. Because the whole isser of bas bito is mikoyach bito. When the Rambam is saying it's e'eb shar, that there should be an isser of bishul bas b'chomer and isser of achilas bas b'chomer. Because bishul bas b'chomer is neveya from achila. It's part of achila. It's a siyar bat achila. That's not a kavachomer. You don't need logic for that. You don't need svaris. You don't need kavachomer. You don't need a discussion. You don't need an analysis for it. When you need a whole analysis for something, you have to present yeah kavachomer, this kavachomer, and the svaris this way, the svaris that way. That start them kind of kind. That's called the kavachomer. So kavachomers are not bad. We use kavachomers all the time. We pass in Shabbos, Kashrus, Tavis, Mishmar. We pass a lot of Shabbos based on kavachomer. But one thing we won't do based on kavachomer. We're not going to be manish somebody based on a kal v'chomer. We're not going to give an onesh. We're not going to kill somebody based on a kal v'chomer. One of the Chachamim writes that the reason why we don't give an onesh based on a kal v'chomer is because it's too much bound up with human intellect, with human logic. And so in all areas of halacha, the Torah gives us a lot of leeway. The Torah tells us kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer is one of the midah shetanid reshes mem. So we're allowed to dash in kal v'chomer. We're supposed to dash in kal v'chomer. We create dinim derais in a sense. We apply dinim derais based on kal v'chomer. We do that in all areas of halacha, but the buck stops here, says the Gemara. You can't do that in onshin. Why can't you do that in onshin? It's one of the Chachamim writes, is because the kavachomer may ultimately be wrong. Because the kavachomer is based on human logic. It's based on a svara. And what's a good svara today may not be a good svara tomorrow. We may think of a pircha. We may come up with a kasha on the kavachomer. So when you come up with a kasha, the kavachomer, what's going to happen? So if it was a shayla and kol Torah kula, it's a kasha and kavachomer, okay. So close by the Kavachomer existed. That was great. And we followed the Midah Shetan address to them. If next week another Bezin comes and refutes the Kavachomer, it's all Zayn. So the Kavachomer fell by the way. So the world's not going to come to it. But by Misa, we're going to kill somebody based on the Kavachomer. Next week, when they say, oh, by golly, you know, that was a mistake. The Kavachomer wants such a Kavachomer. That's a big problem. unless you have the kach dut ches amesim, you're in big trouble. So when it comes to the nefashos, the echvanim, right, you have to be very, very weary. You can't just throw out svaras. It's not so posh to say svaras. The Torah says something. The Torah says yichamis, yichamisa. It's not a kavachomer. It's something that's so obvious. Bol bito is nichla b'chabas bito. That's not a kavachomer. It's not a svar. That's there. It's blatant. It's beferish b'torah, so to speak. But things that are not beferish b'torah that have to come onto the midas kavachomer, and we have to discuss and analyze and debate and negotiate and figure out yeh kavachomer, nish kavachomer, yeh pircha, nish pircha. That's fine for all areas of halacha, but that's not going to fly in the realm of dinei nefashos. That's what the Gemara coins the phrase ein ein shebina din. You have to be very, very weary when you're saying svaras in the realm of dinei nefashos. I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. We're talking about today's parasha, so to speak. There's the whole sugya. I'll use the word sugya. The sugya of COVID. So sometimes you hear svaras. Sometimes a person will say, "It's a svara. Yeah, this is probably okay. Why is it probably okay? It's a svara." You have to be very, very weary. You have to. I'm not saying not to use, logic to, to guide us. When we hear, a svar comes out. Oh yeah, there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to worry about for the following reason. You have to always be a little bit weary. You have to, pass the test of time. Not so much. There have been svaras in the sugya that have turned out to be wrong. And when the svaras turned out to be wrong, the consequences can be disastrous. You have to be very, very careful before a person starts invoking certain kulas and leniencies and so on. But dam and milsa and milsa. Well, if this is okay, then this is probably okay. Not only so partial, that you have to be very, very careful when you're saying the svaras and inyanim that are potentially related to dinei nefashos. So anyway, then back to that story. So the bottom line is there's a sugya of Eidon Shibir Adin. On the other hand, there are times sometimes when you don't even have to come on to Kavacham, it's just move on to Eilav that such and such a thing is true. So the Rambam, focusing on that sugya of Bas B'chalav, the Rambam is explaining the reason why Achilas Bas B'chalav is such a milsa of Pshita is because of the fact that it's a siyag, that Bishul's a siyag to Achila. So the Yemen says that idea that you have a model in the Torah of two Isurim, that A is a siyag to B, particularly in the Rambam B'chalav's and Suros, it's actually not a foreign model. It's really going to actually set the stage, hope Mitzvah for next year, when we learn Yeshiva's learning Mitzvah next year, Mitzvah's Pesachim. So when we start Mitzvah's Pesachim, the Beizim and Aleph, it's going to be one of the very, very first sugars that we touch upon, is the relationship between the Isra of Bal Yirah Ve'Yamatzeh and the Isra of Achilas Chametz. It's a very similar kind of a pattern. The Torah speaks about not eating Chametz, just as the Torah speaks about not eating Bas B'chalav. The Torah speaks about not cooking Bas B'chalav. Don't even get involved, don't even get Bas B'chalav onto the table. And here the Torah says, don't have chametz around. It's not identical. Similar, just as the Torah doesn't want you to have any bas b'chalav on the table, the Torah, in effect, doesn't want you to have any chametz in the closets. So is that relationship really correct? Is that capacity really correct? So the Ran, in the beginning of Sefer Pesachim, thinks that it is. The Ran says that the whole reason why the Torah asked by Rabbi Motzei, like a philosophical / halachic question, why is the Torah asked by Rabbi Motzei? The Ran says the whole Isser by Rabbi Motzei is a gezeira d'oraisa atu achila. It means there's nothing intrinsically wrong with owning chametz and pesach. There's nothing more intrinsically wrong with owning chametz and pesach than there is with owning nefilas treifos. So why does the Torah say not to own chametz and pesach? Because the Torah wants to be extra especially careful. We should be especially cautious not to eat chametz and pesach. So we don't have any chametz around in our houses, and the odds are we're probably not going to eat that chametz. So the whole nature of the Isser of Rabbi Motzei is a gezeira atu achilas chametz. And the Ran raised the question, so manishtana chametz umalur isurim. Why does the Torah create this siyag davka by chametz, not by anything else? So the Ran says he thinks it's a psychological fact. Namely, it's what's called lo bedilim in a inchi, that people don't separate themselves from chametz. People think that chametz is a davar amotu. When you see a slice of pizza, you don't like pull away and say, gavalk, yeah, get me out of here. So you see a bag of pretzels on Pesach, your initial reaction is gavalk, it's all sort. Your initial reaction is, oh, I eat pizza all year long, eat pretzel. Oh my goodness, wait, it's today, Pesach. Oh yeah, I can't eat chametz today. When you see in the Nevelos and Trefus, a person walks into the store, they see lobster, go to the shop right now, you see the lobster section. So your initial reaction is, yeah, get me out of here. The Gemara says that a person is supposed to say that I really, really want to eat the Trefus. It's just that I can't because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said that not to. So I can find that true by some very, very yummy looking Trefus. I personally, when I see a lobster in the store or something, it doesn't appeal to me. Maybe if I had a greater level of sitka, so I would be able to say, I'd love to eat that lobster, but what can I do? EFC, EFC. But by other Yisurim, so a person naturally pulls away from, because he doesn't need the treifas all year long. When it comes to chametz, a person needs chametz all year long, so that natural barrier, so to speak, is not built in, and therefore we're concerned, and therefore we're afraid that there's a sheba yavo li'ochlo. That's why the Ran, Ikvas HaToysos, and Toysos HaBeis and Aleph explains, that's the reason why Chazal went the extra mile also, and created Isurim of mitzvahs of bedikas chametz. Why is it that it's not enough not to eat chametz and Pesach? It's not enough not to own chametz and Pesach. You have to go out of your way, get on your hands and knees under the beds, behind the closet, into the closets, behind the cabinets, and make sure you don't have any chametz on Pesach. Why? With the rice, if it'll be amasagi, I tell you, you don't have to do any of that. I tell you, just have to be about to your chametz. Toys the sheet and the beis himself. Again, I mentioned next year, we'll talk about this a lot. Toys the sheet and the beis is that the reason is shema yavol yachle. We're afraid that the person may come to eat the chametz. Tosfos asked the same question. So, manishtana chametz, why did they make the gezeirah by chametz and not by other isurim? We don't find the gezeirah d'rabban of sheba yavol lechol chazir. Sheba yavol lechol mevel. The guy moves into a non-Jewish home. There are no cheeseburgers here. Like mecha teis, why not? Why is there only a din of bedikas chametz? So Tosfos explains, because of the same concern that the Ram said, the same psychological concern of lo bedila b'nei inshi, that people don't view chametz as being awesome because chametz is mutter. The other weeks a year, 1 week, the whole year chametz is off limits. So that's a much, much more of a concern. So Tosfos says this on a level of the Rabban. And the Ram says even on a level of the Araisa. And it's almost identical to what the Rambam in the Kesef Mishnah is saying vis-a-vis Basa B'cholov. That there's sometimes the Torah is so concerned lest a person comes to eat something that in some cases the Torah itself slaps a siyag at you, sometimes a chum added on siyagam to you. And again, Basa B'cholov and chametz are two good examples of this. We could perhaps connect the dots and say it's not surprising that Basa B'cholov is one of those examples, because this Basa B'cholov in a certain sense is very similar to chametz. Out of all the machalos asuros, so bas mecholov, not the only one, but one of the only ones that's very, very unique in the sense that bas mecholov is made up of kosher ingredients. Meat is kosher and milk is kosher. There's nothing wrong with having a hamburger. There's nothing wrong with having a cup of milk. There's everything wrong with putting the meat into the milk and cooking it up together. That's the deraisa of bishul bas mecholov and achilas bas mecholov. But since people don't view meat as being a dover osur, they don't view milk as being a dover osur, so that mindset of lo bedila b'nei is concerning to us in the realm of bas mecholov as well. So perhaps it could be that the same psychology that the Ran explains at the very beginning of Maseches Pesachim, what prompted both the Torah to create siyagam derais of Bayrav Batzei, is the same psychology, the same concern that the Torah created siyagam as well. Here the siyag being the siyag of Bishol. So again, this is all part of the same, this whole theory of the Rambam, that Bishol is B'tara Siyag. If this is the case, that Bishol is B'tara Siyag, and this can explain to us very well why when it comes to Bas Mechov D'Rabbanon, somehow we get a little bit less concerned. When it comes to Bas Mechov D'Rabbanon, you have your chicken cooked together with milk, so we're not going to let you eat that chicken and milk. That's for sure. We're going to be very, very careful. We're not going to let you eat that chicken and milk. No questions about it. But what we will do is, we'll let you cook that chicken and milk. There's nothing wrong with cooking that chicken and milk with chila. Why? Because we hold like the Rambam, that the iser of chicken and milk in the first place is, if the iser of bishul, in the first place is only with our siyag, this can almost fall into a quasi-category of a siyag l'siyag, of a gzeir l'gzeir. Namely, if bishul would have been objectively usur, there would have been something intrinsically prohibited about bishul. Bishul is on equal footing with achila. Then if Chazal made a gezeira of atu basar, they should have made the gezeira across the board. But a bishul is not really awesome in the first place. I mean, it's awesome, but it's not awesome itam atzmai. If bishul bas mecholov was only b'tar siyag, so now you want to tell me the following story. Don't cook chicken and milk together. Gezeira, you may come to cook meat and milk together. And what's so terrible about cooking meat and milk together? I mean, it's an issue right, so don't get me wrong. But in Lumbus, it's nothing intrinsically wrong with cooking meat and milk together. What's wrong with cooking meat and milk together is that it's a gezeira to achila deraisa. So that's like a ke'ena siyag l'siyag. And it's not identical. A real siyag, a real gezeira is one drabana unto another drabana. This is a drabana unto deraisa. I agree to that. But since the nature of the issur of bishul is such that it's the teiris lumbus of a siyag, of a gezeira, so this is ke'ena, this is too far moved. We're not going to make gezeiras of chicken atu meat, atu bishul, which in turn is only a gezeira as well. So maybe this would be a little bit of a better understanding where the Rambam chisels away at the Yisrael and says, no, Sarof B'cholov, there's kefelch, not so terrible, you're allowed to cook it. Why would the Rambam be more lenient concerning Hana of Of B'cholov? Why would the Rambam let you be so lenient and permit you to derive benefit from something which is only a derabban in the first place? So here, when it comes to the Isser Hana of Abbas B'cholov, this gets very, very tricky according to the Shittas of Rambam. Rambam is a little bit vague in a few places as to how to understand what the Isser Hana of Abbas B'cholov is all about. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. Abbas B'cholov is awesome, Hana. That's not a question. Abbas B'cholov is awesome, Hana. But it's not 1,000% clear from the Rambam that the Isser Hana of Abbas B'cholov is in fact an Isser D'oraisa. Now, we're used to thinking that there's an Isser Hana of Abbas B'cholov D'oraisa because we're really linked to those three psukim. When we're little kids, so our first exposure to L'Savash Li B'cholov Imo, we read a pasuk in Chumash, so Rashi quotes in each place, L'Savash Li B'cholov Imo, Echad Lesser Bishol, Echad Lesser Achila, Echad. But that view, that presentation of the three psukim is only one Tana speaking. That's Rabbi Shmuel who has that drasha. But there are other Tanaim who have other sources for the Isser of Achila, other Tanaim have other sources for the Isser of Hana'a. So again, we're used to it because Rashi has taught it to us. And the Yemen says that the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs actually quotes the three drashas of Rabbi Shmuel, which would, if you go down that route of the three psukim, each pasuk is referring to a separate Isser, that would seem to present to us that each Isser is important, each Isser is for sure D'oraisa. There's no difference fundamentally between the guy who feeds the cheeseburger to the bas b'chol to the dog and the person who eats it himself. This is a D'oraisa, this is a D'oraisa. If you go down that route of the three psukim, each phrase, Lo Savasha, refers to a different distinct Isser, bas b'chol, bishul, achil, nana, then what I'm going to say is probably not correct. But the Rambam, even though in Sefer HaMitzvahs he does quote the three drashas of Rabbi Shmuel, the Mishnah Torah doesn't quote it. In Mishnah Torah, the Rambam writes that you can't cook bas b'chol as it says in the Chumash, and you can't eat it. That was the Kav HaChomer, so to speak, or Yesh b'chol b'saimon, or whatever it was that the Rambam gave before with the Moshe from Bol Bitay. But when it comes to Hanoah, the Rambam doesn't quote a pasuk. Rambam doesn't say, oh, by the way, here's the source you can't do bishul. And by the way, here's the source you can't do achila. And here's the source you can't do anah. The Rambam doesn't say, Rambam says it's also. Don't get me wrong, the Rambam doesn't say that you're allowed to feed a cheeseburger to your dog. It's a garment to feed a cheeseburger to your dog, according to the Rambam. But the Rambam doesn't say that it's actually chayav d'oraisa. If anything, the Rambam says you're not chayav malchus for it. Now, just because you're not chayav malchus for anah, is not always a dead giveaway that it's only the Rabbanim. This is a global question. There are many, many other reasons why the Isser Malchus may fall short. Maybe it's not a Dabam of Furish Patira, maybe it's other reasons why. So just because there's no Malchus is not an absolute proof that it's not a Deraisa, but it's pointing a little bit in that direction. So again, there are multiple Rambams about this in multiple places, but the Rambam's not 100% clear whether he holds that Hano would be an outright Isser Deraisa or not. The Rub of the Rishon holds the Deraisa. Halacha we pass gets the Deraisa. But within the Rambam, it's not 100% clear. If the Rambam Shita would be that Hana would only be a Nisr Derabbanan, or if it even would be a Deraisa, would be somehow maybe a watered down, maybe an Enem Fush Matayr, would be a lower level, Tzachatishir, some kind of other low level Nisr Deraisa, then maybe that would also explain why the Rambam takes the more lenient approach when we're dealing with Bas B'chov D'Rabbanan. We're dealing with chicken and milk anyway. So chicken and milk, vis-a-vis Achila, which is a real D'Raisa with Malchus, the real McCoy. So that's, they made a Gezer D'Rabbanan chicken unto me. But vis-a-vis Hana, which is it's a half-baked this. It's not a full Isser anyway. Whether it's not even a real D'Raisa, maybe it's Enem Afush Batayr, it's a Chatzishir, it's a Lekedach. But whatever name you want to call Hana, according to the Rambam, it's a lower level Isser. So maybe that would explain why, if anyway the stakes aren't so high, anyway we're not dealing with D'Raisas, we're only dealing with Sarof anyway, maybe that's the reason why it's Mutar. So when all the dust settles, we are not 100% sure that we understand, neither textually nor conceptually, where the Rambam got it from, why the Rambam said it, why this statement seems to be true. That at least according to the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, why this statement is true, that whenever you're dealing with Bas B'chov, the Rabbanan, So we have a right to be much, much more make of that. Again, we can't eat basmachal of the Rabbanon, but we can derive benefit from it. We can cook it. So again, we had possible riots from the Gemara by the sugyas about cheese yesterday. Then we saw Hashem refuted those riots. We had some analysis of the Rambam based on the Siyag idea. We're not 100% sure. We thought Hanoah is a little bit different. Maybe it's a lower level. Is so. We're not 100% sure about that. Anyway, so again, not everybody agrees to this Rambam, but Lamais and Shulroch we do accept. This is the accepted view of Halacha today. But whenever you have something which is only Bas Mechav, the Rabbanon, so you have a right to be much, much more lenient, not vis-a-vis Achila. Achila is still also with the Rabbanon, but you can be Mekel vis-a-vis Vibish, or you can be Mekel vis-a-vis Hanan. So I mentioned quickly in passing that this shahad does come up. This shahad really, really does come up every once in a while. It comes up particularly in the realm of pet food, dog food. So we mentioned in the past that dog food, cat food, could be a potential, very, very serious shahad of Basa B'chola. Serious shahad, the Nenet Mi Basa B'chola. So one simple way to avoid any of these shilas is to always go for the chicken rather than the beef. So if you're going for the chicken and cheese, chicken and milk cooked together with the dog and the cat food, so then by definition, you're only dealing with the Derabbanan. Again, we don't follow Tais. We follow the Rambam that Pesach offers only Derabbanan. And we also follow the Rambam who says that if it's only Derabbanan, then Hano would be permissible. So the best solution to the pet food saga would be to go for the chicken rather than for the beef. If for whatever reason, a person, you know, your dog needs his beef, he needs his... So there may be certain svaras lachal anyway. There may be other possible kulas in terms of dog foods. One of the possible kulas in terms of dog food may be that the meat that they're using is not kosher meat. Now that's a tricky, tricky statement because it is kosher meat. It's not shechted meat. It's a kosher species of it, say beef. So beef is a cow's meat. So obviously beef is kosher. But of course, it's beside the veil. They're not using the dog food companies. They're not using the glatt kosher mahadran meat. So obviously, they're using the beside the veil. So if you have beside the veil b'cholov, it's not 100% clear whether that would create a real isser of bas b'chol or not. That's a very complicated sugya in terms of einus achal al isser. That generally speaking, when something is also for one reason, so a second isser can take hold on that first isser. So here, beside the veil is already isser. So can the Yisra Bas B'cholov take hold on B'sai Nevela? So B'sai Nevela is also the Achila, but it's Mutter B'Hanah. So vis-a-vis the Yisra Achila is Bas B'cholov. So the Yisra Achila is Bas B'cholov can take hold on B'sai Nevela because it's ready also from day one because of Nevela. But Megabi the Yisra Hanah maybe can take hold because the Yisra, there is no Yisra Hanah on B'sai Nevela. So I have a very strange question. Can you have a cheftza such as dog food that's also B'Hanah without really being also the achila b'tam bas b'cholov, because vis-a-vis the isra achila is bas b'cholov, so the isra is never typist in the first place. But vis-a-vis the isra no, so there's no enyus achalisa concern because it was never first isra no in the beginning. So yeah, you have a very very modern situation where the isra no may be able to be typhus without the isra achila being typhus. Does that phenomenon exist in bas b'cholov? So the Rambam happens to hold not. The Rambam in Perush Mishnayos in Maseches Krisos develops the Yisoid that you can't paskin Israel on a vacuum. First, you have to determine is the Bas B'chol Asa Be'achila. If and when it's Asa Be'achila, then you can discuss is it Asa Be'anah. But if there's no Israel Achila's Bas B'chol that's Chal on us, then there's no Israel Anah can't get off the ground. So according to the Rambam, all the pet food is going to be mutter because even if it's beef, it's going to be mutter since it's Pesach Nevela and the Israel Achila's Bas B'chol can't be Tofes, can't be Chal because Ein Asachal Lizer. So the corollary is if the Israel Achila can't be Chal, then the Yisra Hanah can be Chal as well. Whereas according to others who disagree with that premise, there's a Taizen Chul that seems to disagree with that, that holds that the Yisra Hanah can exist in a vacuum, it can exist even in the absence of Achila. So that would raise a red flag in terms of being Nene from the dog food. So again, it's Machlik Zerishayim, whether the dog food is permitted by Hanah or not. So I would say that L'chad Chila, a person should try to avoid the Shaila, a person has to feed their pets pet food, so they should try to go for the chicken, rather than for the meat. If you're going for the meat, then it's going to be subject to machlekes rishonim in terms of the intricacies of enes achal nisa. If you're going with the chicken, then it's for sure going to be good based on what we're saying, based on this other round, based on asugya. Since there's only chicken, it's only the rabbanon. So therefore, by the rabbanon, they never made enes the rabbanon against that. No, there was a certain pet food company that used to have a hashkach. They still do. And several years ago, they had a hashkach on them. But Ashkach was not testified that the meat is kosher. They were using the sign, the veil, they were using chicken, trade for chicken. So they they didn't want anyone to think that the food was actually kosher for human consumption. So there was a label that said this is under the hashgacha of hashgacha ploni, certain very reputable kosher organization, only for the purposes of feeding to one's animals. This is not kosher because it's made with non-kosher chicken, but it is free of any concerns about smicholim. It happened to be also free of any concerns of chametz Pesach. So they wanted to market it for as a kosher Pesach dog food. I remember my wife at the time was still in school, and she had a professor who was Jewish, but not at all, and no shaykhs, anything. And the professor used to always speak about her dog. So it was right before Pesach when I got my hands on one of these cans of these dog food. So my wife brought it into the professor to show it to her. So she was so excited about it. So so she gave it to the keep. So at least she would have one less isser of by Rabbi Matze, one less isser being nene b'chametz Pesach, one less isser being nene b'pasul b'cholov. So she used that can of dog food. I don't know whether the hashgacha still exists on those foods. I'm not in the dog food business right now. But a chopanim, that hashgacha was predicated on our entire sugya. According to the Rambam, there's no isser no anyway. So therefore, it would be permissible since it's only Bisarov. So hopefully, Mitzvah on Friday. So we'll begin the next sugya. So we'll be able to get out the Marmkov. So next sugya, Mitzvah, we'll start the new sugya, Mitzvah on Friday. Okay? Maybe have a